So, I thank you very much again for inviting me to talk, and I appreciate those comments. And if we can inspire in any possible way, you know, I get inspired all the time, and especially in this group. So if we can inspire, I think I've done my job. In the beginning, right now, you were blessing, you know, us coming and my giving a talk, and I said, thank you. I really needed that. The reason is, I'll be very honest. You know, the first time, well, I talked a few years ago, and then in November, I gave a talk here. And just a few days after we finished, Connie called and said, you know, there's an opening in December. Can you do next month? And I said, okay. It was 1 month time to do it. So I said, okay. And I think it worked out pretty well. I enjoyed doing it. It always stirs me to do more and to do a little better. And so I put energy into it, and it worked out fine. And then it was only a month. Then a month later or so, Connie said, you know, we have a couple of openings in February and June. Could you do February? I said, well, that's a little close. I'll do June. Friday, the notice came around in the email about the meeting and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first time I remembered since she called me a days ago. So I said, I thought a month was short. But I do have 2 or 3 days. Okay, that should be plenty of time, right? If I just go inside. You know, when you read Ernest, so much is the same in a sense, you know, and you get that feeling, you know what he's saying, and then it just, you know, you just get energized about what he's saying, and it's, oh yeah, it's just like that, and it's just like that, and I remember that, and so it's always a pleasure to do that, and thank you for the particular chapter. You know, well, we'll start with the book, Love and Lore. You know, we could say it, the lore is love. It's the same, and so I look at it like that. And this particular chapter, there is so much more. Well, the so much more is out there all the time. How do we connect to it? See, that's our job. And I think Ernest is trying to let us know or teach us how to connect to that infinite source that's there for us. So abundance is the theme of this chapter, because there is so much more, right? It's abundant. Everything, and Ernest says, everything is mind. Ernest calls it the principle of life. And what we think into it, we draw back from it. God has given us ample evidence of abundance. Ernest simply says, look at the abundance of the leaves on the tree, or the grass we walk on, or the air we breathe. Now, we must eliminate limit. Since there's abundance, we must eliminate limit. And we must start from birth. And we are of divine origin. We are children of God, and God is limitless. And so are we. Ernest talks about how we are conditioned to thoughts in two ways. One, which he calls race suggestion. That has a different connotation than race. So his race suggestion, by that he means prenatal and natal conditions, hereditary, all prior thought from the evolution of man, and the thought influences that are out there floating in the cosmos. Those things affect us and who we are and what we think. Okay. As Abraham says, all thoughts are eternal vibrations. You know, we're Abrams, so I always refer to a lot of Abraham, and you all know Abraham, right? So Abraham says all thoughts are eternal vibrations. It all depends on which ones we care to line up with or be a vibrational match to. Now, the second influence is by, quote, auto-suggestion. What we look at and think from our external environment. So Ernest says, as we look at things, so we think. But as we think, as we image, so we become. One of my favorite quotes from Holmes is, life is like a mirror. It reflects back to the thinker what he thinks into it. So we must be careful in our thoughts. We must select our true beliefs to emanate from us, which then are reflected back as manifestations. In addition, our vibrational reflections also influence the world around us. It all starts from us, each and every one of us. If we let ourselves be determined by the past and present outside influences and conditions, then these influences often have limits to their beliefs. Remember, we are spiritual beings born from an infinite source with limitless life and boundless freedom. Ernest is clear in his description of how to change this belief. You must cease suggesting to yourself any auto-suggestion that you are limited. Cease to rely upon, or believe in, or talk about, or dwell upon, or listen to anybody who talks about limitation. We must be one-minded. Ernest says, thinking correctly for 15 minutes and then negatively for 15 minutes neutralizes our thought creation. Remember, the good book says, ask and thy shall receive. From an Abraham perspective, step one is ask. Step two is it is immediately given in a vibrational sense. Source is always listening to our desires, but then we often negate our wishes. It's that but kind of way, you know. The but negates what was just said or asked for. It negates everything prior to the but. We ask for a raise in salary or a promotion at work, and God says, okay, it's yours. But then you say, oh, well, am I really good enough? The other person may deserve it more. Why would they give it to me? And God gets confused. You know? On the one hand, you want it, and on the other hand, you're not sure. So God says, well, I'm not sure what to give you. I better wait for a more definitive ask. See, it's all up to us. God is ready and available. The infinite is there for us, but it wants to know how we truly feel. Ask, and it is given. Remember in the, I think it was the last presentation, I play a song, you need to accentuate the positive from Johnny Mercer, right? So accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. And of the four, I asked which was the most important, in a sense, just each of us. And I said, latch on, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between, because Mr. In-Between is doubt. You've got to eliminate doubt. You have to be strong in your belief. You've got to be more focused in your desires, and you've got to be more mindful of what you think. You've got to believe it's yours for the asking. Ernest says it very succinctly. He says, we are the thinkers into mind, and mind is the principle of life that returns thought objectified onto the thinker. It is returned as I believe. If you could see a person's inner consciousness and outer condition, they would merge into each other with no differentiation. Remember, the mirror reflects back to the thinker what he thinks into it. It reflects back the manifestations of your desires. Now, there is a universal mind, and our individual mind is part of the universal mind. As Ernest says, like a point in a circle, we are constantly thinking into it. The universal principle does the rest. Wise people from all the ages have espoused this principle. It is the law. Ernest said Moses knew the law of like produces like, its cause and effect. Abraham says that which is likened to itself is drawn. So Ernest said, as I think into the law gives back to me. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. to fulfill. And he said, as ye think, so shall it be done. We need to grasp and hold firm in our belief that the universal mind with which each and every one of us is a part of is always listening and is the force that does it, that objectifies what we think. Ernest says all thoughts are vibrations which stir the mind. We cannot think of without stirring the mind any more than a fish can swim without stirring the water. I love that. That's really nice. So, first, we think forth into mind, and infinite power does it onto us. The mind is always receptive, a creative power, and it immediately begins to operate upon our thought. Now, Ernest, in this book, is writing in about 1918. There's a lecture that he gave in around 1918. And he comments about the Spanish flu and how contagious it was. And then he says, I love this, mentally contagious is disease. If we look to the outside world and we believe what someone else believes, then we become mentally sick because there's often limit and negativity in those beliefs. He says, that's mental disease. I love it. And it's contagious. So remember, God is love and infinite, and limitless. And God is love and infinite and limitless. No. Why not become mentally unbalanced with love and ecstasy? Which reminds me of Rumi and the Sufis. They danced all night with love and ecstasy. They opened their hearts and became one with the divine. Remove the veil of limit and negativity, the illusion of separateness. Ernest gives lots of beautiful teaching metaphors. A bird coming from the north builds a winter home and with more ease than the millionaire in Pasadena, California, right? And far more beautiful, and flies away when it is done with it. And you and I are the only things that feel sick and miserable and unhappy and bound and poor. And do you know we are bound with our own freedom? If we were not first free, we could not be bound. It's a great concept. Abraham says the basis of life is freedom, and the purpose of life is joy. We are so free we can choose bondage. We have the freedom to choose. Why not choose what we want? Why not choose the truth? It's up to us. We are bound by our own freedom. In this age of information, ignorance is a choice. Ernest says, we awake and find ourselves in possession of an infinite power on the one hand, to use, but a limited concept to use it with. So here's the concept. When we wake up and begin to desire something, we shall find that it is right there. And this reminds me, it's exactly one of my favorite quotes from Neville. Be still and know that you are that which you desire to be, and you will never have to search for it. It's there for the asking, whenever. The mind is active and the spirit is ready and willing and able to manifest your desires. We have to elevate the concept that we no longer need to hold on to negativity and limit. Ernest says, one other quote. It says, get a concept that realizes it is no longer subject to the race belief, that it no longer needs to see that which it does not want to express. A concept that learns to see the perfect. Lots of people think the world is going to hell. If it is, we all go together. But they think the world is getting worse and worse. And this is false.
The world is getting good so fast that you and I don't have to see an imperfect world. Abraham corroborates this. Life is eternal, forever expanding. It's only getting better and better. From the Bible, Philippians, look to the good. Whatever is honorable, it is. Look to the good. And Abraham said, give your attention to those things that you wish to amplify and gain momentum, and withdraw your attention from those things that you do not. If there's something that you have lived in the past that you no longer want to carry into the future, can your ability to hear it cease by turning your attention to something else? Yes. This is really what we were wanting for you, to tune out those things that you are no longer wanting to carry forward into your experience, and to tune into those things that you would like to see more of. It's up to you. Joe Dispenza says, it's time to define ourselves by a vision of the future instead of the memories of the past. Ernest says, you and I can go down the street without seeing a person that is lame. Jesus didn't see the lameness in the crippled. He saw their well-being. He looked through their eyes into their soul, and he saw their soul development. His vibration of spirit was so strong that only a like vibration could manifest in that environment. And when you believe, then you are healed. Ernest admonished the practitioners. He wrote it here, practitioners, but at that time, the introduction talked about, he was really talking about the people who came to his lectures. There weren't a lot of, quote, practitioners at that time. So that you're talking about the people who were into those ideas with him. He admonished the practitioners. He said, you cannot heal that which you see. Healing is unseeing that which is wrong and seeing that which is right. And Ernest said, I can give a dollar to a beggar and not see poverty. Remember Mother Teresa as she walked down the streets of Mumbai and looked at the poverty and depravity of the people. She said, I see the God in them. Ernest said, the flower is spiritual and you will find it growing by the roadside. Everything is divine. We have to eliminate the concept of suffering. God does not suffer. He rejoices in his kingdom. Abraham said you cannot get poor enough to make someone wealthy, and you cannot get sick enough to make someone healthy. God is pure love. God is pure love, and love permeates everything. Since we are children of God, each and every one of us, we are the externalization of God force of unconditional love. I often ask the question, where does the spirit reside? Well, in the heart space. We don't have to go far to find it or to connect to it. So let's open our hearts and allow it to bloom like that flower. Let's expand the concept of who we really are. Of one with source. And if we are one with source, then we have the attributes of source. Omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Turner says, it resolves itself into simplicity. Turner says, you and I are surrounded by mind, and that power is the only power in the universe. I do not know what it is, how it works, where it came from. I do not know anything about it, and neither does anybody else who ever lived, and possibly we shall never. I only know that it is, and we only know that it is because we get result. And in getting a result, we are justified in believing it is. Use it and benefit by it. In the The last paragraph of the introduction to this book by the Reverend Leo, she quotes Ernest in saying, "There's no practitioner that can do anything more for you than to help you. Your final emancipation will be written by your own hand, or it will never be written at all. It will be thought out by your own mind. It will govern your own subconscious as it recognizes the supremacy of mind, the infinite impulse of spirit, and your own divine birthright to use it." And to finish up, Ernest says, "We are thinking into that undifferentiated substance which eternally is forming around our thought and returning it to us manifested." Jesus realized the devourer of his own word, that realizes the divine power of his own word. And he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away until all be fulfilled." That is the word that is in your own mouth and in your own mind. Use it well. Thank you.